The Lord is mighty and able, and He is moving. He is shaking things. I shared about just before Brother Ed spoke for 4 weeks. I shared a little bit out of Isaiah and a few other places there, trying to express what I see as some of the things that the Lord is doing among us, things that He is showing us, and referred to the roadway in the wilderness that our brother Charles, before he passed away, passed on into glory. What he shared with us to expect that the Lord is building a highway, building a roadway. And the other thing that has subsequently happened is Janet Hune's transcription of Ed's messages on, Brother Ed's messages on the Sermon on the Mount. The book has come out, and I got an early edition from Judy, who has done a lot of the review, and I don't know that you actually edited it, but you looked at it anyway and helped, I guess, for edits. And a number of things in reading that, I've read about half of it, and in reading it, something that I hadn't realized, hadn't thought about, is the number of times that the phrase "the kingdom of heaven" is used in the Sermon on the Mount. The kingdom of heaven. And our brother goes on to talk about that at length, and he also and the kingdom of heaven is in opposition to the kingdom of earth. And the kingdom of heaven is real. It's not, a thought. It's not a, what's the right expression? An idea that we kind of wrap ourselves around about God. The kingdom exists. There is a king. And the kingdom of earth, there is also a king. There is a place, and we are living in it. And there is a king. There is a ruler who has been allowed to rule and usurp, and he will until the Lord comes and destroys him, casts him into the pit forever and ever. And the kingdom of earth will be destroyed, will be set aside. But until that time, the two exist, and the Lord was speaking of that. And one of the things that is in the Sermon on the Mount, which of course is in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, I lost my train of thought. Hopefully it'll come back. Let me go back to my notes here and try to continue in that direction. Last time when I spoke, I shared this, and this is important. This is, again, what our brother Charles spoke about in Isaiah chapter 40. A voice is calling, verse 3, a voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness, make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up, and every mountain and hill made low. And let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, call out. And then he answered, what shall I call out? All flesh is as grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Our brother Charles spoke about the roadway in the wilderness, and that has captured my heart here, and I want to share a little bit more about it. But the important, or really the genesis of this message and the message before, is that things are happening, things are being shaken in the world. God is moving. And when God moves, the earth shakes. The atmosphere will be rent at one someday because by the hand of the Lord, He is moving on the earth and above all resistance, beyond all resistance. He's building a roadway, and what's this roadway for? This roadway is for the king to come, to enter in on, to enter into his, come in his mighty, with his mighty army. He is going to come, and he is calling out, he is stating that the kingdom of heaven is going to be established. The kingdom of heaven is coming, and every mountain and hill will be made low, and the rough ground will become a plain. We haven't seen that physically happen because it's not of the kingdom of earth. It's the kingdom of heaven. He is making the way. He is making the way for us to know Him and to experience Him in the kingdom, in His kingdom as the King. Something else I read during this past week. I hadn't made note of it before, or hadn't thought of it before. Just like how many times that the kingdom of heaven is really the focus of the Sermon on the Mount. But the kingdom of heaven is a phrase that the Lord Jesus spoke more than any other. He used that phrase. He was speaking of the kingdom. He was speaking of God, the Father, God Yahweh. To try to use some additional scriptures to help see the difference between the kingdom of earth and the kingdom of heaven. I wanted to provide some examples, some testimonies of the Lord in His Word. And the one that leaped out at me immediately was in the New Testament, in John chapter 1, beginning in verse 15. And you're not going to be surprised by this. John chapter 1 verse 15. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this is he whom I said, he who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. He's speaking spiritual things now to people who wondered about, who are you? Who is this guy? Why does John came on the scene, and the people were captured, captivated. They realized that there was something going on here. Even the rulers who didn't want to believe, they knew something was happening. They didn't know what it was. But John was doing something. As we'll see in a moment, the way in the wilderness was being prepared. For he comes after me, has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. John was a servant, an absolute servant of the Lord. He did not have a program. He was following what the Lord was put in front of him. He spoke the words that the Lord gave him, that God the Father gave him. He was doing God's bidding. He was not in a contest. You know, as far as I can tell, he never calls himself the baptizer. He doesn't even talk about baptizing. He just was doing that because he needed to. People were coming to him. They were captured by the Lord and realized they were sinners and they wanted to repent. And washing in water was something that God gave them as the children of Israel, as the children of God, to have ritual purity. They had basins and tubs. And in the temple itself, there's a basin for washing with water. John was baptizing in the rivers, but that wasn't his point. He wasn't trying to baptize 10,000, or he didn't have a goal. You know, there wasn't a thermometer on the wall that was being raised every time another 100 people got baptized. He wasn't even calling them to be baptized. They just came and desired it. He was calling them to realize that the King is coming. So John the Apostle, in writing about him and writing in this section, for the law was given through Moses. Phil was speaking of this earlier. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. That's verse 17 of chapter 1. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. That's our Lord Jesus. He is in the bosom of the Father. He has explained God. He has shown who he is. And this is the witness of John. When the Jews sent to him priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" And he confessed, and he did deny, and he confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." And they said to him, "Who are you? So that we may give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" Well, hallelujah. There you see the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of earth contrasted. I mean, can you make it any more clear? The kingdom of earth says, there's dust being kicked up in the air over here. What's going on? Maybe we got to look at this and look. We got to figure out a way to classify this. Well, who is this guy? Well, he's telling the people to repent. The people are all rushing out to him. The kingdom of the people, the children, they want to know what's going on. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the priests, they sent out people. Who are you? They didn't acknowledge something's going on here. What is it? What is the Lord doing? They didn't want to know what the Lord was doing. They want to know what he was doing. That's the way of earth. That's the kingdom of earth. The kingdom of earth says, All right, I want to deal with this issue. And I can't deal with all of this stuff that's going on, just like we're dealing now with COVID and the riots and all that sort of stuff. All these shaking things, China going off, and you can't deal with that. You know, if I can put this in a, if I can just cut a little section out, maybe I can figure it out and classify it. That's what I'm going to do. And see if I can fit it into my life view, my world view. can't handle it all because it's too much. Who are you? So, tell us so that we can give an answer to those that sent us. They didn't want to know themselves. And the people that they were going to answer to really didn't want to know. They didn't want to know if there was something that God was doing. They just wanted to know, how can we shove this thing out of the way so we don't, I mean, I don't want problems. Come on. We don't need any more problems. We got the Romans. We got all kinds. We got plenty of problems. Pharisees don't like the Sadducees. The priests don't like we got enough problems. We don't need somebody stirring things up. Kingdom of heaven. And John said, I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as Isaiah the prophet said. Huh. That was spoken hundreds of years earlier. Is this prophecy being fulfilled? John speaks very clearly, and he is speaking of the kingdom of heaven. God is moving. He is coming. And he is speaking. He is calling the people to be ready. And they're responding. They're responding to the call, the presence of the kingdom of heaven that existed, that the Holy Spirit was stirring up, that John was displaying. Now they that they had been sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him, and they said to him, why then are you baptizing if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? You're not supposed to be doing this. You got to be somebody like us. We got, you know, I was sat at the feet of thus and so, and this guy, I mean, we have Moses. We're children of Abraham. Who are you? So, John speaks very clearly. I baptize in water, but among you stands one whom you do not know. It is he who comes after me, and the thong of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. These things took place in Bethany beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The kingdom of heaven was coming, and there was one coming who Luke says will baptize you not in water, but in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit and fire. He who is the author, he who is the creator is coming, and he wants you to be ready. God is organizing his desire, he's coming again. I'm not trying to say when, but he is coming, and he is seeking his people to be stirred up unto knowing him and to embracing him and being guided by him. He is able to deal with, And Brother Ed shared, and it's one of those scenes that about Peter. It's one of those scenes that I've thought about many times in the past and have embraced for, I mean, the night of the, before the crucifixion is absolutely it's just amazing. All the prophecy that was fulfilled in that night, all the things that were said and prepared for, Peter was being prepared by the Lord. He said, they're going to come and they're going to take me and they're going to crucify me. And Peter, you know, as Ed shared with us, said, no, Lord, it'll never happen. I'll stand for you. We will all stand for you. And all of that unfolded. I mean, he was here. He was taken to Herod, and he came back to, he was at Pilate, was sent to Herod, came back. He's before the chief priests. When they came to take him, Peter stood up and cut the ear off of the servant of the high priest, trying to defend him, thinking he could defend him. And he arranged all these things. And as Brother Ed pointed out, he had in mind Peter. That wasn't the only reason. He had in mind all of us. All of us are being handled just the way Peter was being handled. He was being prepared to see what it was that the Lord Jesus was doing. He realized, Peter was being introduced to the Peter of the kingdom of earth, the Simon of the kingdom of earth. He couldn't. He can't. We can't. We can't defend the Lord Jesus. We can't do his job. So, kingdom of earth. I also read last time out of Zechariah, and I'd like to look at chapter 2 of Zechariah just again briefly. Again, trying to help us see the kingdom of earth. Peter failed kingdom of earth. He was trying by his best effort, by his bravery, by his desire to protect the Lord Jesus, tried to defend him, couldn't do it. Zechariah, this is the end of the captivity. Not the end of the captivity, but the end of the 70 years. Many stayed in captivity for years and years longer. But Zechariah, at the end of the captivity, says, then I lifted up my eyes and looked. This is verse 1. And looked, and behold, there was a man with a measuring line in his hand. So I said, where are you going? And he said to me, to measure Jerusalem, to see how wide it is and how long it is. And behold, the angel who was speaking with me was going out, and another angel was coming out to meet him and said to him, run, speak to that young man, saying, Jerusalem will be inhabited without walls, because of the multitude of men and cattle within it. For I, declares the Lord, will be a wall of fire around her, and I will be the glory in her midst. Do you see us in there? See men? What's the young man doing? He's measuring. He's measuring. That's what we do. That's kingdom of earth. There is no measure of God. There's no measure of the kingdom of heaven. He is trying to figure out, and I'm going to put it down as the wall. He's trying to figure out how big it's got to be, and you know how many furlongs and whatever you know the city is. And this is what we do. We account for everything. We want to know. We want to see how it works. We got to keep track of it. You can't, this is a maxim of business. You can't manage it if you can't measure it. You know what? You can't measure the kingdom of heaven. Sure can measure the kingdom of earth. And, you know, if you can measure it, you can put it in your little box and say, it's this big. And, I want to build, and because we need defense, we're going to build a wall around it. And it's going to be, well, how big's it got to be? Well, we need to, how many bricks is that? Well, of course, they were using stone. How much stone is that? How much time is it going to take? You know, that's kingdom of earth. We're going to build a wall around it, and we're going to be safe. Nope. There wasn't a place on earth that had a wall that wasn't broken down by enemies. The enemies would come and destroy it. I watched, taking aside, Marcia bought me the Curiosity Stream for... it's on Roku. Anyway, this castle that Richard the Lionheart had built, this thing was impregnable. Well, actually, it wasn't. It fell. It took time. It took 10 months, I think, or 7 months, something like that. But it fell. The walls and defenses of men are unable to stand even before men, much less God. The wall around Jerusalem fell. How many times? I don't know. You know, Nehemiah came and rebuilt the wall. But the fact of the matter is, God, the reason Jerusalem is there is God is a wall of fire around it. He is able to defend and take care of his own. He is taking care of us. We do not have to fear. Whatever is coming, God will protect us for what he needs us to be protected from, and he will shake and burn whatever needs to be shaken and burned. And he loves us. We are in his hand, and he wants us to see him. He wants us to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Scripture that I hadn't remembered, hadn't thought about in some time, was reminded of this morning. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12 and 13. Basically what it says, I'm not going to read it, but basically what it says is, you measure yourselves by yourselves. That's kingdom of earth. You know, I remember Brother Dana sharing in a message one time, and I can't remember, it was one of these confrontations that the Sadducees or the Pharisees had with Jesus. And he took out his wallet, and he had one of those... little accordion type things that, you know, where you put all your cards and stuff. And he says, look, we got all these certifications. You know, here's where I went to school, and here's what, and that's the kingdom of earth. God is the only certification that is of any value and the only thing that we need. He is the one who calls us to witness for him. He is the one who empowers that. He is the one who guides us. It is not what we do. It is not how smart we are. It is not how many different ways we can figure out how to do something new and how to excite this, that, or the other thing to cause people to look at God. He has a testimony. And that testimony is life-changing and our lives being changed. Is the testimony of God on the earth. And that causes Brianna's to come to the Lord. There's no way she could have been talked into that. No way. Okay. One last thing, and I'm done. Back in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, chapter 8, beginning in verse 2. Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of earth. Another example, another picture. Well, not a picture, it was real. A history, a testimony. Verse 2, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people were coming to him. This is Jesus, of course. And he sat down and began to teach them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery. Now, I picked this because adultery is one of those things that's being talked about in the Sermon on the Mount. The Lord Jesus is talking about adultery is not just not being in the act, not performing the act. It includes lust. It includes looking. He says that the kingdom of God is beyond anything that you can do. All right. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, and having set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery, in the very act. Now, the law of Moses commanded us to stone such women. What do you say?" Are you a disciple of Moses too, or are you something else? What do you say? You've been nice to people. What do you say? Can't say this girl is not in trouble. She's a sinner. She was caught. Kingdom of earth. There she is. She's stuck. I mean, she's dead, as far as she can tell. And they were saying this, testing him, in order that they might have grounds for accusing him. But Jesus stopped. Praise the Lord. Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. And don't get caught up in what was he writing. He just was ignoring them. That's, we know that for sure. When they wrote on the ground, but when they persisted in asking him, he straightened up and he said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And when they heard it, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the older ones, and he was left alone, and the woman, where she had been in the midst. Don't look at this idea of he who is without sin cast the first stone. Don't let that get in the way of what I'm trying to say here about the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of earth. The kingdom of earth is accusing her. They are seeing her. They have, hallelujah, they found somebody that they can use to thrash Jesus. He's gonna trip up because he's gonna forgive. He is a forgiver. He has said so. We've seen him. And so he says to them, and he just utterly cuts them off, because the kingdom of heaven is not, it's not about the sin. That's not what I want to say. The kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of earth is of sin. She had sinned. There was no doubt. She deserved to die according to the law. But he set them back, and it's not that she was being let go because others, well, they're as bad as I am. She didn't say that, which is a good thing. That's kingdom of earth. That's reasoning. He was left alone with a woman where she had been in the midst. And straightening up, Jesus said to her, "Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you?" That's the reaction of the kingdom of heaven. That's the reaction of God. Did no one condemn you? "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you." Kingdom of heaven. "Go your way. From now on, sin no more." Oops. He spoke kingdom of heaven. He spoke of God. She can't sin no more. But she can embrace him just as we can. We can't sin no more. But we have our Lord Jesus. We have him who is able to stand before the accuser of the brethren, the king of this world, the ruler of this world, the liar, the destroyer. He is able to stand before him and claim his blood for all of our sin. That is the kingdom of heaven. So I say, I have shared all this and used these examples that we might see and consider how the Lord is moving, what the Lord is showing us, what he is doing in the world, in the church, in our neighbors, everything that we see. He is there. He is moving. His desire is for all to be saved. There is no sin too grievous to be forgiven. Lord, help us. Help us to trust you, that when you give us, when you lead us by your Spirit and you call on us to do something strange, Lord, help us to do it. Let us go and stand in the wilderness and declare, "The King is coming. Make a way straight." Lord, you will empower those things. You will empower and you will draw men and women to you. Lord, use us. Prepare us. Lord, cause fruit to be produced by our lives. Fruit for the kingdom. Fruit of the Spirit. We thank you and we praise you that you are able to sort through all the morass of stuff, the confusion and the angers and the thoughts and the intimidation. Lord, all these many things you are able to deal with. Help us, Lord, to hang on to you. Help us to be as a branch in the vine that you are pruning to produce more fruit. In your precious name we pray. Amen.